30 at 441.100 are especially optimized for those who are using a handheld transceiver. So those who are using a base station, please use one of the other frequencies. Because this is a linked repeater system, when you key up, please pause for a second or two before you begin your transmission. This way you will not find the beginning part of your transmission cut off. Unfortunately, we do have some digital noise coming in on one of the receivers up in the Bronx. Anyway, when you key up, please pause for a second or two. This way you can make sure the beginning part of your transmission doesn't get cut off. If you are not able to get in on the air, you can always use our email address, which is nydxa@yahoo.com. For those who are checking in on the air, please give your call sign, name, and location, and please indicate if you have any traffic for the net. By traffic, we're talking about any comments or questions that you'd like to share with everyone else. If you don't have any traffic, say the words no traffic, and this way we know to move on to the next person. However, the more people say no traffic, the less things we have to talk about. So that will stand by for the traffic. Please face it out to make sure no one is stepping on each other and we get everybody checked in. This is S2NOV.
And 2NOV.
This is Kilo Charlie 2, Kilo South Victor Portable. Just happened to switch over, so if I caught the net at the wrong time, we're just checking in, apologize, and we'll be standing by there today. With, unfortunately, no traffic at this time.
You said your suffix so quickly, I couldn't type that fast.
Oh, okay. No problem there. Actually, nice to make the acquaintance. I visited your space many years ago in the past. I don't think we've ever met, though. But the first personal is Paul, and the call sign is Kilo Charlie 2, Kilo Golf Victor, over here in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. Good evening to one and all.
And welcome to the net, Paul. And hopefully you'll find something interesting. Okay, anybody else?
I'm in Milford, Connecticut, with traffic.
NLV, this is WA2OKZ, Jen in Cranford, no traffic.
Maybe the repeater's sick. Go ahead, Charlie.
Okay, Don. Now we're going to check in. Yeah, typically Gordon does use the Midtown or the Bronx UHF computers. I don't know, maybe something else going on tonight. All right, anybody else? Okay, we'll go with what we have and pick up late check-in in a little while. Let's see. Bob, you're the one who's got traffic tonight besides myself, so why don't you go ahead. N1MLZ.
Good evening, Charlie, and everybody else on the net here. Just curious, Charlie, am I making this okay? I'm on the 147.150.
What are you, next door to me?
Yeah, we got a serious band opening tonight, by the way. I look at that VHF propagation map, and it's like red from central United States all the way over to the East Coast, so... Excuse me, it's a serious bin opening. Anyhow, the air show from Jones Beach, I monitored mainly the Blue Angels on Saturday and Sunday. And the four frequencies that they used, I scanned everything, and the only four that they used that I was able to hear from here in Connecticut were the South Albert 305.9. That's 305.9. The Solos were on 237.8. That's 237.8. The Solos. And the Diamond Formation, they were using the 275.35. 275.35. And the last frequency with the Showbox was 284.25. 284.25. I posted these on Radio Records as I heard them on Saturday. Sunday I heard it much better. I think they were doing the high show on Sunday because the weather was better and they were able to go higher up, and I heard them almost like they were next door, as you say, Charlie. So I heard pretty good here. Even on Saturday I was able to hear, you know, most of the comms, but at times when they must have went lower, they kind of went into the noise a little, but just using the disc cone here. And also I was outside on Sunday, just able to hear them on the rubber duck, the Maldor, whatever you want to call it, rubber duck I have. Let me let it drop. Incidentally, I picked up this rubber duck made by Maldor, M-A-L-D-O-L, whatever you want to pronounce it. And it's the A-L Alpha Lima -500 H's and Harry, or Hotel. Alpha Lima 500 Hotel, and it's excellent on the UHF military band. I haven't able to find an antenna that matches it yet, and I have about 1,000 antennas. Swear to God. Anyway, this antenna seems to be the best on the UHF military that I've ever had, and picked it up a couple weeks ago. One more piece of the traffic here, Charlie. Just curious, the UHF Do-It system, I noticed you posted the new talk groups here, and talked about them last week, and I have been hearing them. I don't hear that system very well. It's funny, my disc don't work very well on the T-band, as they used to call it. I mean, I get just about every precinct in New York City, you know, perfect here, even Staten Island precincts. But that system, I have a lot of trouble with it. And, you know, it works. I have it programmed in the scanner right, because I do get it. And it does track okay. It tracks fine, but just have a lot of trouble with the signal. I don't know if... obviously, you guys down there in New York don't, but just want to mention it. It's probably the only system in New York that I have trouble. Some days, I actually... It won't even track it. The control channel isn't even strong enough. And... meanwhile, you know, do it 800, I'm getting full scale here, so it's just my location or what, it gives me trouble. So I figured I'd just point that out. All right, back to you there, Charlie, N1MLZ.
Okay, Bob. Well, first question I have before we jump into the do it stuff, the Maldol, that's how you pronounce it, antenna that you're talking about, what band is that thing supposed to be optimized for? Or is it just one that you
believe it or not, it's receive only. It's not made to transmit with. And I read about it on Radio Reference somewhere, or maybe on, it was on Strong, not Strong, it was on, I think it was Scan Cape Cod, actually. I read about it, and on one of the forums. And I figured, I kept searching eBay for one, and I finally found one, so I jumped on it. But believe it or not, it's just for the air bands, and it really, VHF Air, I can't say that it's the best antenna I have. I have other ones that are better, that do a little better, but the UHF no air band, even a 220 AEA, but I think they call it hot rod, I have one of those, and that doesn't even do as good, and that's a hot rod metal antenna, and this thing, I don't know, for some reason, the only thing is it's very flexible. It's almost, I'm afraid that it's going to break. it's pretty long, and it's very flexible, so I just got to be careful with it. But it's made for the air band.
Ah, interesting. All right. I'll have to look into that, because that's one antenna I do not have, is one that's optimized for that portion of the UHF spectrum. Yeah, I've got that 1.2 and 900. And the 220 band and regular UHF stuff, but military air, I don't have one for that. So, I guess I'll go pick one up. It's my arsenal.
Yeah, be careful. It is expensive, I gotta say. I think it's, it was about $50 new, or something in that area.
For a rubber duck antenna.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. It might even be a little more than that, 50-something. It's quite a bit.
Wow. I think I've been half of that for a game VHF-UHF transmitting antenna. Okay. From what you can tell from the outside, obviously, you have lights it up or anything. Does it seem to be a continuously wound spring from bottom to top?
Yes, I don't think there's anywhere where it unscrews or anything. It's all one piece. It's base loaded and also center loaded. So, I can't see anywhere where it could be taken apart, if that's what you're asking.
I mean, from what you could feel through the rubber jacket, does it feel like it's one big spring in a spiral going from the bottom to the top?
Well, that's the funny thing. It's not really a spring. The bottom, it actually has a little set screw. You can take the whip out. It's like a whip. It's like a whip antenna, but it's very flexible whip. It's I don't know what kind of material it is. I can't really say it's rubber. In other words, it's not a coated spring of rubber. Most rubber ducks have just a coating of rubber on the outside, and inside, like you said, there's a spring. This is almost like a whip, but it's not metal. It's some kind of material, but it's obviously conductive of some type. But and then there's a coil in the middle.
Okay, I'll do some more research on it. See what type of construction it is. Like you said, it could probably be a whip with loaded coil, and then you could have got a center coil as well.
Yeah, QSL, center coil as well. I imagine for the UHF section.
Well, actually, the other way around. If it's got a coil, the bottom part is UHF, and the bottom combined with the top is VHF.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. It's and it's BNC. I believe they also sell the SMA connector. I think it's Hotel Sierra for the SMA at the end. 500HS, I think.
Okay. All right, I'll see what I can find out about it and get some technical details.
hopefully pull that together by next week.
You know, my aim, if it's at all possible, I'll even make it myself. Like I did with the first trunk tracking scanner, the Bearcat 235. I actually made my own 800 meg half wave. I'll let the noise go by. It was a very simple design of using coax and pulling the shield back along the outside. It worked very well for a long time.
EC2MMC.
Good evening, Terry. We got you checked in. Any traffic?
Oh, no traffic. KC2NMT, Orange, New Jersey, Terry, no traffic.
Okay. Alright, well, let me see what I can figure out on it, Bob, and get some technical details for you.
Yeah, very good, sir. It'll be interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting to find out, because it works very well. I have to say, I was kind of shocked. The first thing I tested it on was the local air traffic controller, UHF frequencies, and they bombed in here, and I even was able to hear the ice lift on UHF. But UHF, you know, I mean, the air traffic controllers don't really transmit much at all, so. And then I actually heard Woodstock, Connecticut, which is way up northern here in Connecticut, and that shocked the heck out of me, because I was able to barely get it with the disc cone. And that's up 25 feet, so I was getting this, it was almost better on this antenna, so I was kind of shocked.
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I just got the new scanner, not the new one, but the Bearcat, the first model. What antenna do you recommend? I'm using a rubber duck antenna on it now. But what antenna do you recommend for that scanner, like a disc cone or what?
Well, it all depends on what you're trying to listen to and whether you're in range to pick up the signal without having to rely on gain. You know, if you want the entire spectrum, then a disc cone would make sense since you're pretty close to all the stuff in the tri-state area.
Yeah, I got the 996T. If this registered on with the scanner thing there online. I got the Mac computer, but I have to put Windows in it just to do it. But okay, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what antenna should I use while outdoors.
This one works fine. That's what I'm using on mine.
Okay, yeah, I had one. Let's see. I'll see if I can go get one now. I don't think Rat Jack sells them anymore if they know what a disc cone is.
Well, knowing a lot of these sales droids, they probably think you're talking about an ice cream cone. Now, the disc cone that I've been using for the past 10 years is the Diamond DJ-130 disc cone. That's the one that has the base-loaded whip added to it that allows it to tune down into the VHF low band.
What's that run you about $90, about $100?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, I gotta have been on the online. Like, I haven't registered, but I haven't did any updating yet on it. So I'll probably do that sometime this weekend.
One of the things I liked about it when I got it was, as opposed to Radio Shack's disc cone at the time, which I believe was selling for about $50 or $60, the Radio Shack model, the elements were hollow, except for the threaded piece that was jammed into the end of the hollow tube that allowed it to screw into the base. The Diamond disc cone is a solid piece of metal, so it's much stronger.
When I had the Radio Shack one, I had to put those star washers on them, because if you don't, if you have it here for a while, they tend to fall off the pieces here. So I learned how to lock those down, and I didn't lose any more pieces.
A little trick when you're putting while and solidifies. Now, the threads still make contact, so you do get electrical conductivity, but the spaces throughout the threads are filled with this blue liquid, which solidifies into a plastic. Now, if you ever have to take it apart, with a good twist of a wrench, you can break the plastic and it comes off. But it won't come off by itself from shaking in the wind and such.
Yeah, that's a good thing to know. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. Somebody told me that the state troopers, I don't know if they went to a different frequency. I don't know. Like I said, this weekend I'm going to concentrate and update the scanner and redo it.
State police for New Jersey or New York?
New Jersey. I don't have a New York in it yet.
Okay. New York, the best source for the information is John Burricelli. If you go to my website, n20b.net, scope out, halfway down, you're going to see a link for New Jersey trunk system. When you click on that, it's going to grab John Burricelli's PDF document from his website. And he updates that on a regular basis. So when there's more talk groups discovered for the New Jersey trunk system, he puts it in the document and updates it.
And I'll do that. I'll definitely do that.
Okay, time now is 9:27, it looks like. I'll stand by for any additional check-ins before we continue. This is N20P.
N20P. KB2, USM, Dave and Dayridge with some quick traffic. Quick question for you.
Okay, Dave, we can get you. Anybody else? Let's see. With the email that I sent out Monday regarding the U.S. Marine Corps Osprey that landed here on Staten Island and caused tree branches to fall down on the people, with the email heading of Osprey landing causes tree branches to land on spectators, I got one humorous response from Dave K2SL up in New Jersey. Thing. At first reading, I thought it was a bird, not a helicopter. I was thinking it could have been bird poop. I guess I got to be more careful how I put the subject headings of email. Anyway, Dave, go ahead. KB2 USM and 20B.
Thank you, Charlie. I got a quick question for you guys up there. I saw something today for the very first time. Never saw this before. A parade of police cars. Parade of police cars with on the rear, on the trunk. I'm not talking about the GPS here. I'm talking about two really like large devices on either side of the trunk. Looked almost like cameras or something. I have no idea what they were. They had wires running on the trunk lid. I got to make this quick because I got a repairman coming over to my place right now. But does anybody know what on earth? And it was not one police car. These were blue and white NYPD police. There must have been about 10 of them that had it. Anybody know? Over.
I saw a first photograph of one outside the Staten Island Ferry Tunnel about 3 years ago. An NJUMC caught it on his way home from work. And from what I've been able to find out so far, the best theory is radiation detectors.
Wrong answer.
Well, we'd love to get a right answer. Go ahead.
Evening, Charlie. N2VQQ. If it's the way it's being described, do they have fins around it to sort of cool the device? Looks like a heat sink.
Yeah, I think it did.
The unit cut out. Was that affirmative that they had a heat sink appearance to it?
Yes, I believe it did.
All right, those are LPRs, license plate readers.
It allows for a license plate to be read without the intervention of the operator of the vehicle or his partner. So as you're driving down the road, the camera looks at the license plate and immediately processes that license plate. Normally the information is ignored. If the plate comes back suspended, revoked, stolen, etc., you know, any other matter, at that point the officer is alerted.
So question, why is it on the trunk here's my repairman. Why is it on the trunk if it's is it reading the cars ahead of them?
Alongside. Think about the way the license plate would be on a typical vehicle the car itself is passing.
Okay, it just seems like it should be the car.
Well, most agencies actually have them mounted on the roof of the car, and they have it angled. Either way, the angle would be downward to point towards typically the center rear of a car that's being passed or is passing.
Hey, copy. I'm going to have to go off the air. I've got a repairman here. I thank you very much. There's a 73 KB2 USM 73, guys. Thanks for the info on that license plate reader.
Not a problem. Boy, I wish you didn't... it's too bad because I wish I could figure out what gave you the idea that there's GPS in the car. That's pretty funny.
That's hammered. What did you say? You thought it was what funny?
The idea that there's GPS in the cars. I'm wondering where that impression, what gave you that impression.
All New York City police cars now seem to have a small little GPS antenna on the very on the trunk, like a 3-inch black one.
3-inch high, round, like almost like a salt shaker or a pepper shaker.
A copy, except I was saying that it's not the GPS device. I was saying that it's not the GPS. I said it was not that. Here's my repairman. I gotta go. 73.
Right, good luck with your repairs. I may have misunderstood. This is not in most vehicles. In majority of the vehicles, that antenna that is shaped like a salt shaker or a pepper shaker is for the computer to be able to up and download the data that is stored in the MDT in the vehicle. It's a part of the wireless network. It's not a GPS antenna. Only select precincts in Staten Island due to the large area that they have to cover are equipped with GPS units, and those are coming with the normal GPS hardwired antenna to the device.
Copy, I didn't know that. Okay, very good, very good. Okay, 73 now.
Alright, well that brings up a slightly additional question on that one. This 3-inch antenna that you're talking about, is that for the new 4.9 gig Wi-Fi type band, or is that still being used for the MDTs up to 480?
It's a local-based system. Vicinity of the station house, they're able to get the data up and downloaded. As far as I know, we're not correction on that. The agency in question is not connected to the Wi-Fi network yet. DOT is dominating that right now. I'm not sure if the capacity is there for anybody else.
Okay, so I know that the fire department had one of the handheld units for that new Wi-Fi system back in the spring of 07, and they were running that drill at 7 World Trade. So, you know, just looking at how far it's expanded since then, are you saying just the DOT's got it now, nobody else?
there's a couple of demo models out there for data purposes, you know, like to give the foot patrol capabilities similar to what you would have in an NPC in a car. That's out there. They're dominating on that network for a data transmission back and forth from a facility in Queens.
Unfortunately, that digital noise took out most of your transmission.
Now, so just mentioning that the Department of Transportation is dominating that network with data back and forth from a particular facility in Western Queens.
Okay. Well, I thought it was laid out all over the city. So, the eventual idea of this whole thing was to provide a private Wi-Fi network to the agencies, put up at 5 gigs, and that OEM was supposed to get a bunch of stuff, and fire department and police as well.
Same order. Queens, Brooklyn, Bronx, Staten Island.
2-1-0, set to VQ2.
Yeah, VQ2, go.
Sir, did your webpage get updated to reflect that new information?
I did it earlier this evening. Also updated on radio reference.
Excellent, thank you. One additional question. Have you noticed different units coming up on each other's channels? In other words, does security have capabilities for lifeguards and or vice versa?
I thought I heard an inspector and sergeant popping up on different talk groups.
Okay, so certain executive levels, but not the lower. All right, thank you for the update. I'll make sure to revisit the site and to VQQ.
Yeah, I did hear one inspector, I recognized his voice. He popped up on each of the different talk groups to get a hold of the sergeant or somebody who was in charge. To let them know that a specific directive came down from the Parks Commissioner, I think this was Thursday or Friday last week, that people were not allowed to go out of the water deeper than their ankles because there were no lifeguards on duty. And if anybody does, that they were authorized to pull them out of the water. So they told me that at least that level, like you said, executive level, would be able to just change channels at will. But lifeguards just seem to stay on their own talk room. I didn't hear them moving around.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay. Coming up on a 9:45, is there any additional check-ins or comments before we wrap it up? Is that sort of thing? Okay, well, hearing nothing, we'll say 7-3 at this point, and we'll catch everybody next week. Again, this is the beginning of the quote-unquote summer period, so you're going to hear a lot more stuff on the air regarding outdoor activities.